Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House this week. Monday night football in front of a national audience. The Saints pretty much got humiliated. I don't know. I think personally, I'm not angry anymore. I think that I set myself with unreasonable expectations. I get that the team is talented, but I think going into the season, there were just too many question marks to think that all of them would work in our favor. I mean, we need to break it down. We need to look at it. But at this point, the only consistent thing that we can find in New Orleans Saints is that they are inconsistent. Yes. Welcome in, Dale. Welcome, Craig. Let's talk some Saints football.
Absolutely. Inconsistency on us. This is how we roll.
You talk about like the Eagles or something. Like, it just, it's not fun to talk about the Saints anymore.
No, I don't want to talk about the Eagles. Yeah, no Eagle talk. Let's talk.
Right.
We want to talk Atlanta football. Let's do this.
Really, really. All right, y'all. We had our poll question put up here, and we talked about last night game, and we simply said last night game changes. We had two options. Everything. We're doomed. Or the other option, nothing. Who dat? And 66% of you guys selected everything. We're doomed. Craig, what did you select?
You know, what's frustrating, I picked doomed. What's frustrating is the answer is both. We're bad. The team isn't good right now, whether it's injuries or coaching or what, it doesn't matter why we're not playing very well, but we're not playing very well. And we're a game back, so we're not allowed to give up yet. Like, it's the worst, man. If we were 3-6 and, you know, Tampa was 6-2 or some shit like that, you know, we could just pack it in and be like, you know what, this sucks, but we'll just look for some fun plays. You know, we'll try to have fun with it. But we're still a game back despite everything. And it's dangling that hope in front of me is what's killing my soul. Mm. It's poisoning my soul that I still have to pretend I care. And I want to stop caring. And I just can't do it.
You know that commercial with the guy with the fisherman outfit? And he's got the little pole. Like, I found you a dollar.
Like, oh, you're gonna get this.
Yeah, that's us right now. I agree with that, Craig.
No, yes. I think Craig nailed it, and it's, I think the way we're handling is two different ways, but what you're saying is 100% correct. Every week the Saints are still right in it. Right now they have every opportunity, but to put your faith into a bad team. And Craig, you also said something very fair and reasonable, whether it's because of injuries or bad coaching or whatever the fans want to blame it on whatever you want to. At the end of the day, the results aren't good. And so, but you're putting your hope into a team that is incapable of putting it all together right now. Now, what it reminds me of is how many times have the Saints been like, ah, man, they need Green Bay to beat Detroit so that we can get the number one seed or the number two seed or whatever. And you're there pulling for Detroit, and it's frustrating because they can't do anything right. This is every week for us now. It's like the Saints are Detroit against Green Bay, and all we have to do, just beat this team that's decimated by injuries or isn't very good. If we just – and then they go in there and they fall apart, and you just like – it's frustrating. So me, personally, I've just kind of given up. I'm going to treat the Saints. I'm not getting frustrated. I have no more expectations. I'm just going to watch the team for what it is. And that is an inconsistent team that can beat teams because we do have some talent. But at the same time, we're not going to beat other good teams that have a good quarterback, that have a solid defense. You know, the saying, I don't agree with the saying or the analogy that the Saints can lose to anybody any week and they can beat any. No, they can't beat anybody any week. They cannot beat the good teams. You're not going to beat the good teams with the holes we have and the quarterback that we have. Andy Dalton throwing to Tre'Quan Smith does not beat good teams. It doesn't happen. Occasionally, I get it. I'm painting with a broad brush. There are always exceptions, but generally speaking, you're not going to do it.
So you disagree with the quote from Underhill, New Orleans is combustible enough to lose to anyone, but also talented enough to beat about everyone in the league.
I disagree with that. Completely. Okay. Even in the games, our offensive statistics, even in the games, like I'll use Cincinnati, for instance, we had a big touchdown to the rookie, Shahid. The point is you can't consistently do it. We got a big play early in the game, which changed the complexion, allowed us to stay in it longer. But in the second half, when we needed another touchdown, we struggled to get it. We cannot, even with our offensive statistics, we do not consistently move the ball, except against bad teams. So the Raiders just lost to, I was all excited when I saw the Raiders were up 17-0. And then Jacksonville came back and beat them 20 or 30 to 20 or maybe something like that. The point is it was a bad team. Against good teams, you're not going to get the offensive production. And the defense, unless the matchup is right, and I'm going to get into that later, but I have a whole rant about our defense. And it's not just about how poorly they're playing.
Okay. Well, let's get into this game then. And let's start with the penalties and the turnovers. We had the Saints with 5 penalties for 40 yards. Baltimore with 5 for 31. The Saints got 1 first down via penalty. And Baltimore got 2. And, of course, the Saints got 1 turnover. We threw an interception. So, I guess, overall, the penalties, I mean, did they kill us during this game? Or
no, our third-down defense killed us in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was texting you guys this, is that the turning point of that entire game was that we couldn't convert third downs, and they converted every third down. They were automatic, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, didn't matter. Quarterback could scramble, dump them off. The running backs always seemed to have 10 yards of daylight every time they got a dump off. It was automatic. Every third down, we looked great in first and second down, just about every down, every drive. You could just watch it. You first down, second down. As soon as third down came around, you're like, well, this is the one we get gashed on. And it kept happening.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to agree with Craig, and then I also want to disagree with him, which tells me that I agree to everything he said. It's just it's which one is the worst of the issues? Because part of the reason we couldn't convert third down is because it was a penalty. It was a false start. It was a hold. It was something. But having said that, I don't know if we could have converted with the only time the Saints are effective offensively is when they can run over people, is when they can bully the other team and run the ball. Then our passing game's a little bit more effective and efficient. But when you can't run the ball, this team has nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to special teams. Will Lutz made all his kicks. Gillikin averaged about 46 yards with 2 punts inside the 20. But let's talk about that Shahid punt that he did not field that cost us about, 22 yards or something. I mean, did you guys get a good look to see if this was something he could actually catch?
It looked like it would have been risky. He would have had to come up on it. It was kind of a line drive, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It's just a bad break, you know?
I complained about it last night, too. But in hindsight, I'm like, do I really want this guy running up full speed in the traffic, bodies all over the place, trying to field a wobbly punt? So it was just a bad luck. It was bad luck. I don't hold that against him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's a rookie. He's trying to, do the right thing. It's too dangerous to try to make a play on that. I'm with you guys. It's just a bad break.
Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun. So go over to their Facebook group, check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. All right, well, let's get over to the offense. And the big thing was time of possession. 37 minutes for Baltimore, 22 minutes for New Orleans. Just like you guys said, we couldn't convert on third down. We were 3 of 11. Meanwhile, Baltimore was 9 of 15. But talk to me about Andy Dalton here, Craig. He took 4 sacks. He threw for 210 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
I think he held the ball too long. He's not a very good quarterback, and I wish we had someone else. That's succinct. one of the things we like, we said, okay, well, we like that he protects the football. We like that he gets the ball out quickly. And we like that he doesn't take a lot of sacks. And we like that he gets it to Kamara a lot. Let's see, he didn't get the ball out quickly. He wasn't careful with the football. He didn't get the ball to Kamara. And he held the ball too long. Took a lot of sacks. Statistically, he was probably fine. The paper will tell you that he was fine. He wasn't. He was bad. Offense was bad. He made the O-line look worse than they played because they did not play poorly. But you look at the stat sheet, it looks like they did. I'm just done with Andy. It's his last 7 primetime games, I think it is. He's lost by double digits. His career record in primetime is 7-20. He's deer. I don't know if it's deer in the headlights. He psychs himself out. Whatever it is, I never want to see him in a Saints jersey again. I'm completely done. I'm done with it. I'm making all these excuses of, oh, well, you know, we're averaging almost 30 points a game with Andy. Shut up. Shut up, Craig from last week. It's dumb. Andy Dalton is garbage. I'm done with him. I'm done with him. I'm done with Winston. I'm done with Taysom. Just shut it down. Done watching Saints football. It's garbage. Rex snapped to Kamara every down until the clock runs out. I'm tired.
Last week's Craig was just so childish. I mean, you are a different person now.
A dummy.
Historical Craig made some bad statements. No, I mean, I said the same thing, although it's like this. To me, I'm like, and maybe it's just my I don't care attitude. It doesn't matter. Like, we need a bridge quarterback, and if I have to pick between Dalton and Jameis Winston, I'll take Dalton because, well, I'm not going to get into why. Because the way I look at it is there's 2 bad quarterbacks, and you're just picking from the one, either Andy Dalton's limited skill set or Jameis Winston's issues. Whatever it is, none of them are good enough to be significantly – they don't move the needle enough to have a long conversation. Andy Dalton needs an offense and a defense that's working, and if you have that, he can run it efficiently. But here's the next thing. He's not capable. He can't move. And you don't really – God dog it. Doesn't this make you just realize how good Breeze was? Because Breeze had a weaker arm, and he still found a way to get the ball out quick enough where you didn't realize how immobile he was. Now, when you see those guys standing, you just – and it's totally emphasized by Jackson running all over the place. If you don't have a quarterback that can – make a play when the basic play is not there, when the design play is not there. You have to have a guy that can, you know, pick up 2 yards on a scramble. What Andy Dalton is the ball either comes out or he is sacked.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much better Jameis really, especially with the injuries right now, gives you. I don't know, man. There's not a lot of weapons. It's just so discouraging right now. Here's the next problem. I'm going to watch the Saints so I can see the progression of the young guys like Olave. Olave's already awesome. When you get the ball to him, he's open. I saw a route he ran last night. It was incredible, man. He switched gears a couple of times, throttled down. The defensive back kept running. He broke it off wide open. I'm like, this guy, I'm not saying he's not going to get better. He will. But at the end of the day, he's the only guy we have to work with. And Kamara, don't get me wrong, but I just don't know that either quarterback's going to make it with the skill positions that we have on offense healthy.
What happened with our running game? Because that was non-existent. We had Taysom with 1 rush for 6 yards, and Kamara with 9 for 30. I mean, our offense is built upon being able to run the ball. If we can't run the ball, how can Andy Dalton be effective here?
We got bullied.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Pissed me off the most in this game, 3rd and 1. And they don't bring in Taysom Hill, where they resting him up for a bigger play, something more important. 3rd and 1, you already behind the 8 ball because your offensive line is not going to bully their defensive front seven. And you don't even give your best option a chance on third and one. I was just livid about the fact that they, on the first series, third and one, and you don't bring them in. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, Taysom only had two touches in the game. Two. One pass, one run, zero catches. Like, that is way below the quota that we said was the good spot, right?
and we had all this talk was that we're going to get him more involved as right. a tight end in the passing game. He's been targeted for 5 passes this season. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. clearly not the case. We're clearly not trying to throw him the ball. We're not running him in short yardage situations. We're not running him in goal line sets. We're not. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing, guys? We have weapons. We have players, and we're not utilizing them right. Is it coaching? Is it some 3D chess that I'm just not smart enough to understand? Because it looks a whole lot like bad coaching.
Yeah, we went 0-2 in the red zone this mm-hmm. week. Well, last week we went 2-3. So big difference there. Craig, I know we had some injuries on the O-line. But overall, you thought they were okay?
I mean, they were. The play that comes to mind was when Throckmorton got beat. They ran a stunt where Ramczyk stepped out, Throck stepped down, and they were supposed to have a little bit of a switch call. And the guy came free off of Throck, and, you know, they called it a fumble, but he was down. But that's what comes to mind. There were a lot of sacks, but a lot of them were just overload blitzes where Dalton held the goddamn ball too long. The run blocking was okay, honestly, and we gave up on the run immediately. We did have McCoy go down. He always does. But the O-line played okay afterwards. Ruiz was okay. Fine at center. He was making the calls. He looked fine. Throck is, well, he's a backup, and that's why he's a backup. He struggled a little bit, as Hurts did. Ramczyk had a few bad plays, but overall, the O-line wasn't the problem. It's one of those things where if a receiver goes across the middle and the quarterback hangs him out to dry and he gets just blasted and it's the quarterback's fault, that's what he did to his O-line today, or last night. Andy Dalton made the O-line look a lot worse than they were.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anybody else on offense y'all want to talk about?
I mean, who? I mean, okay. Yeah, I want to talk
about him. Do you have anyone else on offense?
I want to talk bad about him. Andy Dalton, who, you know what, and he ended up having, like, a pretty athletic play on the sideline late in the game is Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, you're right.
And this isn't to dog. I'm just simply saying, outside of Olave, and, of course, Kamara, I mean, you're just dealing with a bunch of – like, you're just not going to win like this, man. And it's – you know what, I don't know who to blame it on because, quite frankly, we did not go into the season saying, man, you know, Johnson's going to be a big part of the offense and Callaway is going to be a big part of the offense. We didn't expect this. So who do you blame that on? I don't know. Everybody's looking for somebody to blame, and now it's the medical staff. You know, the medical staff caused, you know, Lattimore to get kneed in the I don't know, whatever artery that he
Speaking of Callaway, how wide open was he? And he just missed him before the half. Just it's okay. So open.
That would have put us in a position where we just maintain
everyone but Dalton and Dale could have made that throw.
that was pretty heartbreaking, man. That was a heartbreaker.
We were still in it. I mean, and if we scored that, it might change the complexion of the second half. I mean, it wouldn't have because we couldn't stop a running quarterback and it's all garbage. We would have lost by 100. But it doesn't matter because for that moment, there was hope.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It would have just let us have hope on, you know, into the third quarter. But the fact of the matter is, we weren't moving the ball on those guys. Nothing consistent. Yeah. We wouldn't have moved the ball more consistently if we'd have got that touchdown.
You got out-coached. Those blitz schemes were just, their guys were just coming free.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. All right, well, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Just looking at the rankings now, the Saints are up to number 5 in total defense. That's up 5 spots.
Good joke.
Yeah.
What a fucking joke.
The stats here.
That's just stupid. Games aren't done on paper.
But hey, Here's a good stat here. Peyton Turner, 3 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. So that's pretty positive. Good job, Peyton Turner. The Saints defense did have 3 sacks in the game. One from Onyemata, 1 from DeMario Davis, and 1 from Caden Ellis. What did you guys see from the pass rush as a whole here, Craig?
And if Lamar Jackson wasn't a magician, we might have had 9 sacks. He got away from some stuff. I'm just thinking, like, no one other quarterback in the world escapes from that. I know Dale hates running quarterbacks, but we should have drafted that son of a bitch. Oh, we should have drafted him instead of spending an extra first round pick to get an oft injured defensive lineman who now is too big to rush the passer. We could have had Lamar Jackson, guys. Instead, he embarrassed us on national television, as if to remind all of us that we should have drafted him. I know you don't like him because Dale's a racist.
I don't subscribe. I'm not trying to hear about all this. We should. I should have done a lot of different things in my life, and every day we make decisions that impact our future. Just it is what it is, and I'm not trying to dwell on that. Having said that, this defense. I noticed it. I suggested it last year that I don't think we're built properly to stop running quarterbacks. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, we take our defensive ends, we want big defensive ends, and we stop the run because we have 4 huge defensive linemen that stop the run. Every guy we get, we start packing weight, and I'm talking about defensive ends. We start packing All right. weight on them, right? Mm-hmm. We take them from athletic, mobile defensive ends and turn them into defensive tackles playing defensive ends. So now all of a sudden, here we are, move forward. And at the early in the season, I said to you guys, and I was reluctant to say because I didn't want to sound like a fool talking negatively after the first game about our top-rated elite defense. And I'm like, tell me who's fast on this defense for their position. Who's known as being, doesn't mean they're not athletic, doesn't mean DeMario Davis isn't one of the best in the league, but who's fast for their position? Now I look at Davenport, who I always like. I like him. Forget about where he's drafted. I like the way he plays. He's violent. He's aggressive. The guy can't move anymore. He's got to be – he's well over 300 pounds. Cam Jordan, great defensive end. We can't play defense. We match up against one type of team, and that's a team that runs like the Raiders. You have a quarterback that doesn't run much,
right.
A running game that's kind of a power running game, and that's who we play well against. The problem is, unless they bully you more than you bully them. And so now we have this defense with a bunch of slow guys, Davenport in particular. I just got finished saying I'm not going to say what we invested into him. But at the end of the day, we put a lot into him, so then we turn him into a defensive tackle and then wonder why he can't move and get a sack. Now, they might have had to do that because he's always injured, but at the end of the day, he's not as violent as he was last year, and this defense is just getting old and slow. And half of it is the coaching philosophy who takes these guys and starts packing weight on them so they're not fast anymore. They're big and strong. That's great. But you only match up against Tampa Bay. You know, you match up against Tampa Bay, which is great. Great. We could beat Tampa Bay. We can't beat anybody else.
So anyway, you're saying this is the wrong philosophy to build the defense.
I'm not saying at some point it didn't work and it wasn't good. But now look at where we're at. Okay, so now we have a bunch of overweight defensive ends that probably need to lose 30 pounds so that they can still be a big defensive end, but they can't chase down Lamar Jackson. I mean, last night I saw Cam Jordan, love Cam Jordan. So this is almost in making a point. He's great. But Lamar Jackson came up to him, and this was later when he had to walk in touchdown. He froze in his – he couldn't move. And there were other times where Lamar's doing this and that and the other. And I'm watching that. I mean, I was surprised that Cam Jordan didn't get a broken ankle trying to figure out what to do in an effort to try to stop him. We have nobody on defense that's just, man, that's a fast linebacker. That's a, if you follow what I'm saying,
I'm not until yesterday. Not fast.
I hope you guys get what I'm saying, but we're now just a big, huge, lumbering defense that plays bully ball, but that doesn't work with everybody.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, and Pete Warner.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was just told a minute ago that we were the number 5 ranked defense, and that everyone should just be happy with that, right, Dale?
That's right.
Lamar Jackson does that to a lot of teams, but you can definitely see it. We're not built for running quarterbacks yet because Lamar Jackson, sure, he's going to beat everybody on offense. Marcus Mariota's not, and he did the same damn thing to us. So it's just a matchup issue, you know, and the matchup worked when we're younger and faster and, you know, 17, 18, 19. Now we're into 2022 and maybe Davis has lost a step and maybe Lattimore is injured and maybe our fastest player for their position, Werner, is going to miss the rest of the year. And maybe Cam Jordan's lost a step and maybe Davenport's gained 50 pounds and ate another defensive tackle.
Craig, I'm not saying they're bad football players.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying
that they were a fast defense that was big. Now they're a good defense. Yeah,
I'm agreeing completely. We've lost a step, and now we're all right. So for a boxing analogy, when Mike Tyson was younger, he wasn't a big slugger. He was an infighter. He would get in and out, very, very quick, very precise. And after he got, you know, his legal troubles and he lost to Buster Douglas and he slowed down a little bit, he became just a slugger where he just threw haymakers and big hooks. And he lost a bunch because he wasn't playing the same style. He had slowed down a little bit, and he was still very strong. He was still a very good fighter, but he wasn't the same kind of fighter. And that's what our defense has become. It's not the same kind of defense anymore.
Okay. Well, they have the run D. We had Kenyon Drake rush 24 times for 93 yards, and adding Lamar Jackson with 11 rushes, 82 yards. We had to worry too much about the secondary, because they only passed for 133 yards. It's very, very hard to tackle Lamar Jackson. I'm seeing us look foolish several times. It's just one of those things, man. Where he does that to everybody, though. So, but do you think that teams look at this on film and think, you know what, we've got a guy that can take care of this?
I think teams do absolutely do that. And first, I want to reiterate, as frustrating as it is, we are not the only defense who has this kind of trouble.
Yeah.
There's no way that you can have someone as athletic as Jackson back there, and then he fakes a handoff that if you just ignore the guy he hand the ball off to and defend him, then that guy's going to kill you. It happens all the time. I mean, Warwick Dunn was a phenomenal running back when Michael Vick was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So it's just hard to defend. But having said that, golly, man, there has to be some other weaknesses. You could see that he was inaccurate. Mm-hmm. So somehow or another has to be some, I don't know what I'm saying. Honestly, there has to be something that slowed him down, because we didn't hardly slow him down. We didn't. Yep. I mean, God forbid
he's a former Athens. I mean, yeah, he's a Heisman Trophy winning, a National Football League MVP, and they've held a 10-point lead in every game they've played this year. So, yeah, someone's going to figure it out, but they haven't done it yet.
Yep. All right, well, injuries again to Eric McCoy, Pete Werner, and Marcus Davenport. So we'll see what happens with those guys, and we'll see what happens with the guys that should be coming back. If they ever come back, will they come back? Who knows? Where do we go going forward? I mean, I know we're one game out of it and everything. What do we do here?
Let me tell you this, Dale. When we get Davenport and McCoy and Werner back, we're going to make our move, buddy. We're going to, hey, turn the corner. I'm telling you, we're going to put it together.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm done with that.
Yeah,
I don't actually believe that one, but I believe when Michael Thomas comes back and Landry comes back and Lattimore comes back, we are gonna
just watch out.
Watch out.
Yep.
BS and Beer Media is sponsored by Purple Valley Farms Marijuana. We got that good.
All right. Well, let's get to our pick'em. And we got the Hollywood Whodat remaining the top guy, while I dropped to number 3, and Dave is at number 5 here.
Damn, I dropped one. Yeah. Had a bad week.
Yeah, bad week. And of course, Craig.
That's fine. You can skip me.
Lucky number 13.
Hey, see, I did that on purpose. That's how good I am.
Now he's going to make a move now. Here we go. All right. Let's pick a game. We got Seattle at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 2.5-point favorite, Dave.
Is it at Tampa Bay or is it in Germany?
Oh, is it in Germany?
Nope.
Tampa Bay, Germany.
There we go. All right. That's news from me right there. Good job, Craig.
Some kind of joke in there about Tom Brady and German historical figures. I got nothing. I'll put it together later.
All right. What about you, Dave? What you picking?
Man, Seattle continues. Why can't we get a guy like that, right? No, it's just incredible how they can find a quarterback off the trash heap. And I'm not going to try to play poor me, because how fortunate is that for Seattle? I mean, like, many teams have tried it. Matter of fact, I'm going to go into the Saints thing, convincing ourselves, man, our offensive line's good, our skill positions are good, our defense is great. We're going to just get any quarterback and put them back there, and it's going to – you know how many teams have tried that? And people go back to those same two or three examples of teams that won a Super Bowl with a nobody quarterback, right? Rarely does that work. You end up with – man, they have a lot of pieces. It's how Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay, who had just year after year a top 10 picks. And finally, you get a good quarterback in there, and all of a sudden, they're a great team. So until we figure it out, now I've gotten way off the subject. The fact of the matter, it's you rarely find a guy who comes in and actually plays well and helps the team win off the junk heap. And Smith has done that. So I'm going with Seattle.
You know, that's really, really good point there, Dave. But I believe it's easier to try to find two good receivers to try to boost up your quarterback than it is to find a quarterback to boost up your team.
Especially we had three good receivers to start this season, and now we're out here losing with Andy Dalton. So what the hell are you trying to say?
You just got the wrong guy.
Out of here.
Get a different guy in there. Yeah, let's get a different guy in there. You see what happens.
So Seattle's offense is playing really well. Geno Smith is playing really well. Defense is actually coming along. It's improving a lot. It was the worst in the league when we played them, and I think they're middle of the pack now. They've been getting a lot better. And the Bucs are going to win.
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter anymore. There's every you see, because I think we're going to beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
And therefore, we can't catch up. There's no joy or happiness or love in the world. And because there is no light and there's only darkness, the Buccaneers will win anyway. Look like they shouldn't have won last week. They did anyway. They're going to do it again. Because why are we even doing this?
Yeah. And there you go.
That's all it is. It's just nightmares and sadness.
That's right.
Buccaneers.
That's right. Depression cast, baby. Let's go.
Oh, my God. This is good radio, man. I mean, this is it.
Give me Seattle in these points. Let's go to Atlanta, who's a 3-point favorite, going to Carolina. Carrick, who you got here?
Atlanta. Because even if they weren't a better team, they would win anyway, just to keep us a game back.
Okay.
But they are a better team. Yeah, Carolina showed a little bit of life for a couple of weeks, and then the wheels just fell off. So
yeah,
Carolina's garbage. Atlanta's slightly less garbage, so Atlanta will win, and we'll never catch them, and we'll exist in our own misery. Purgatory of second place.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield came in at the half there and played quarterback for Carolina.
I like Baker Mayfield. I never understood why everyone hated him so bad. I honestly, give me Baker Mayfield right now. I would start Baker Mayfield over Andy Dalton. You heard me say, everybody hear me. I would take Baker Mayfield right now. I hate Andy Dalton. Get rid of him.
Now we're going crazy now, all right?
they have Darnold on this? Yeah, give me Darnold. Anybody.
All right, Dave, who you got here?
Shoot, all that. I forgot who were.
Atlanta, Carolina.
I just want to slip my wrist right now and slip into a hot bath.
Depression.
What is it? Carolina versus Atlanta?
Yeah, Atlanta's a 3-point favorite.
I think Atlanta's better than we give them credit for, because they're not a bad team. They're actually a decent team. I mean, everybody's an average team, except for us, that is. Because average would mean we'd be somewhere around 500. We are 3-6.
I wish we were average.
We are 3-6. We are not an average team. This hurts, man. I mean, every time, because you know what? I can't even take pleasure in knowing that we're setting ourselves up for a franchise quarterback in the future and, hey, go through the tough time. This hurts, man. Oh, my God. Somebody was like, fire the head coach. And who? I get it. 32 teams, 32 jobs like this, pay a lot of money, very prestigious. Who wants a team with an overinflated cap? Most fans, if I say this, they'll think I'm crazy because they don't understand how it works. They kept rolling these contracts until the point where if we cut Cam Jordan, it's $30 million. You cut people were talking about cutting Michael Thomas, $30 million. Half every big contract, we can't even cut them if we wanted to try to say, okay, let's start saving and rebuilding and getting younger. So who wants this job, man? No first-round draft pick. Overinflated cap. It's going to be a couple of years before we start seeing the upside of this rebuild per se. It's bad right now. I mean, at least in my mind. I guess I'm right there with Craig. I just explained it a different way with the sadness and the darkness and all that stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
So right now we have another year in my opinion with Dennis Allen. If you think he's a bad coach, we're getting another year. I don't think the Saints will cut him because it's just bad optics to cut a coach after 1 year. You know, next guy's like, well, what if they do that to me?
Very expensive.
Yeah, and two, you know, all the things I just mentioned. So I think Dennis Allen is going to stay here, and poor guy is going to take the beating. He's going to take the brunt of the blame for everything that went wrong with the Saints. Although I believe in my heart, that's why Sean Payton took off. He knew what was over the horizon. And now I hear Sean McVay says he wants to retire with his players. Well, of course he does. They did the same thing over there. And now they're about to go through the crap. And the head coach wants to bail out. Mm-hmm. And I hate it. I hate it. Anyway, I'm sorry. Right. Was there a question in there?
Can't mess up that resume there, Dave. That's what it is.
That's right. Yeah. Bring me in. I'll destroy your cap, get you a win, a few years of doing well. And then who cares about what the future's like?
Teams will sign up for it. Like anything for a Super Bowl. Let's do it.
If we would have won a Super Bowl, I would be like, hey, man, this is the price you pay. But we tried it and it didn't work. And now here we are. So it is what it is. It really is what it is. I'm not mad about it. It's just the reality setting in because I thought we had another year.
Yeah.
And you just don't realize how quick it goes away.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Off cliff. That's what happens. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pick Atlanta minus -3. I just think they're better than Carolina. So let's go to Pittsburgh versus New Orleans. New Orleans minus -10 on the year, last in the turnover.
I
really
thought you were trying to say that was the spread. I thought you were saying that we were minus -10 in the game. No. Like, holy hell.
No, we're actually favorite in this game. So
I'll get there.
Pittsburgh is minus -4 in turnovers. Their offense is ranked 28th in total yards, and their defense is ranked 29th. Okay.
Wow.
Their offense, they possess the ball. They're about 19th in total time of possession in the league, and New Orleans is at 21. And of course, our offense is ranked number 6. So all of these things to say the deck is stacked in our favor. We should be really optimistic about this one. We can get this done. New Orleans is a 2.5-point road favorite at Pittsburgh. And I'm going to go ahead and pick first. Give me the Saints minus -2.5. Take it to the books right now. Dave, who you got?
I'm with you. I think this is an example of all the stuff that I said. I know that sometimes perspective can be lost. This team still has talent. I mean, it's not Super Bowl talent anymore. Hell, it may not even be playoff talent right now, but the Saints are better than Pittsburgh, and I expect them to win. I expect them to win.
Yep.
Who the hell are you guys? Which I just explained.
Games.
Just explained really clearly why we're never going to win another game in the next 20 years, and you guys are
not even yeah,
so. So we're built to beat a very specific type of team, a bad one. and we're playing a bad one. So, their offense has been anemic at best. Their best player on offense is a running back that they're not utilizing very well. They've got a rookie quarterback. Their best receiver is a rookie. If we lose, then our season's over, because our luck, then everyone else will also lose, and we'll just drag this pain out at least one more week. I think we blow it, man. I think Andy Dalton melts down and we blow this one. Give me Steelers. Because why not? Because we were supposed to, there have been the games we were supposed to win that we lose, and there are games we're supposed to lose that we win. So, we're supposed to win this game. We're a better team than they are. We have better players than they do. Our offense is better. Our defense is better, and we're going to blow it. And Andy Dalton's going to cough the ball up four times, and we're going to lose again, because there is no happiness or joy or love, and everything is blackness and terrible.
There you go. Razor blades and bleach, everybody.
Okay, one note. One note. They like to say that their colors are black and gold. That's yellow. We wear black and gold.
Yeah.
The logo is yellow. What the hell are you doing? Why does everyone keep calling yellow gold? Because your team is from the 1920s and you couldn't print gold fabrics yet? Get the hell out of here. You wear fucking yellow.
Yellow. Black and yellow. That's what that is. Dog, all right, Craig. I love it. Good energy there.
The Craig rant.
Oh, don't you do it. What I hear.
All right. Well, I think, as I said this last week, I think that's about all the show that we have for you this week. Saints playing Pittsburgh. I think they have a shot at it. I don't think they're giving up quite like Craig is. But anyway, for Dell Mims and Craig over there, who's he has the bleach in his hand, a razor in the other hand, and you know, he's about to sign off. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, that!
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer at icloud.com.